No, there haven't been any negotiations. Iran doesn't trust Witkoff or Kushner because they lied about the negotiations that took place. They made comments and attributed those comments to the Iranian foreign minister, and the mediator, the Omani foreign minister, he's never in his descriptions about the negotiations. He said nothing of the sort. He did not acknowledge anything that Witkoff had claimed. So either Witkoff is just lying, was lying to the people, the public, or perhaps there are those in Iran who believe that Witkoff and Kushner lie to the president. I have no way of knowing, but the exact, for example, Witkoff said that. Spoke about Iran wanting to have nuclear weapons, that the foreign minister was saying that sort of thing. That's not what the Omani mediator said. And fortunately, he was there and he was the person passing the messages back and forth. And he went on television in the United States saying that there was progress at the negotiating table. And then the United States carried out that attack. But I think what is, we can find out really what Trump's intentions were through the timing. It was right before the markets were to open, and he declared a 5-day delay. And surprise, we shouldn't be surprised that after 5 days, the markets close. So I think what he wanted to do was to bring down the price of oil and energy.
And in the context of saying that there Iran wants to make a deal and we're really close to it, a lot of the media in the United States today is saying that what he is doing is he's exposing some rift inside the Iranian side, that there's a rift between the Iranian government and the IRGC, and it's unclear who's running the show. Trump implied this morning that he was talking, that who he, his side was talking to is somebody that's almost like a secret inside the government. Watch this.
A top person. Don't forget, we've wiped out the leadership phase one, phase two, and largely phase three. But we're dealing with the man who I believe is the most respected and the leader. You know, it's a little tough. We've wiped out everybody.
Is that the Supreme Leader?
No, not the Supreme Leader.
So
we don't.
Not much talk.
Well, nobody heard of the second Supreme Leader, the son.
Are these direct?
Nobody. We have not heard from the son. Every once in a while, you'll see a statement made, but we haven't. We don't know if he's living. But the people that seem to be running it, and they seem that based on really fact, because things they've said have taken place.
Mr. President,
again.
Mr. President, I know you've deployed.
I don't want him to be killed. Okay? I don't want him to be killed.
Mr. President, you've deployed.
Nobody wants to be that. Nobody wants that job right now, you know?
So he's claiming that, oh, I'm not going to tell you who we're talking to, because if his name got out there, then the Iranians might even kill him. So we can't be saying that. Is that accurate?
I don't know at all. I don't understand at all what he's trying to say, because he doesn't make any sense. We have a leader. It's Ayatollah Sayyid Mujtaba Khamenei. He's the person in charge. And we have an administration, and we have senior leaders. The leadership, the leadership in Iran is just as, what did you say, the third layer, first layer, second layer, third layer, they're all gone. And then he says Iran is also obliterated. Well, if Iran is obliterated, then why can't you just open the Strait of Hormuz? Everything that he says is just nonsense. And sadly, the American people are propagandized. And when it comes to the empire, and especially a country like Iran, which the Zionist lobby despises because Iran is opposed to ethno-supremacism, there's a consensus. So it doesn't, all of the opponents of Trump, they are all going to basically run the same psychological warfare campaign against Iran, because there's a consensus on animosity towards Iran and supporting this genocidal regime in Palestine. But the leader is Ayatollah Sayyid Mujtaba Khamenei. He says he's the most important person, obviously. He's in charge. And there are no negotiations. And the Iranians have said there are no negotiations. The foreign ministry has said so. That is the administration. and the Speaker of Parliament, which the Americans are trying to imply that it's him. He's said that there are no negotiations. And Trump's track record of dishonesty, I think, is more than enough to indicate that what he's saying is nonsense. And the timing is clear. After the 48 hours ended, would end, I'm sure he's worried about the Iranian response if he starts targeting Iranian vital infrastructure and power plants, which would be a crime against humanity in itself. And Iran said it will respond by devastating the power plants on the other side of the Persian Gulf, because all those regimes are complicit in the war. They're allowing the Americans to use their airspace, their territory to kill Iranians. I think that is a concern.
As a matter of fact, we have this soundbite here from, I think this is before the day, I think it was yesterday, so before President Trump made this announcement, and this spokesman for the IRGC said this about the retaliation.
If U.S. threats regarding Iran's power plants are carried out, the following punitive measures will be implemented immediately. The Strait of Hormuz will be completely closed and will remain closed until our damaged power plants are restored. All power plants, as well as the energy and information and communications technology infrastructure of the Zionist regime, will be extensively targeted. All similar companies in the region that have American shareholders will be completely destroyed.
Now, the first point he makes there, he said that the Hormuz will be completely shut down, because right now it's open, I guess, for anybody who wants to do business in the Chinese currency or any other people that work out a deal specifically with Iran. That is going on to some degree right now. Is the implication here that if the energy infrastructure is hit, that nobody will be able to pass through?
That's right. That's as we speak, and as you rightly point out, a limited number of ships do pass through with Iranian consent. And of course, there's a relationship going on between their owners and the Iranian government. But if these attacks are carried out, the Strait of Hormuz will be fully shut. The Israeli infrastructure, vital infrastructure, will be devastated. But also, he said that all the infrastructure in the Persian Gulf area, that where the Americans have, or American citizens have, some sort of share in it, they too will be targeted in retaliation, because these family dictatorships are all complicit in the war. And I think that is something that scared Trump. Doesn't mean that he won't do it. We'll have to see what happens when the markets close on Friday, if he's going to do this. And I think if he does carry it out, it will be there will be devastation beyond belief. I think that that would lead very swiftly to a global economic depression, far worse than 1929.
And what do you say to those people who say, well, I mean, that's just what he says, but I mean, we've been damaging so many of their launchers, and according to Secretary of War Pete Hegseth and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, they said like 90% of their launchers have been destroyed. So they have a little bit of capability, which we saw in Dimona and Arad, I guess, over the weekend, but those are just lucky shots here, but they wouldn't be able to do that. What do you say to that claim?
Well, they haven't actually, and this is information that I actually do have, because I have spoken to someone who is in the know. The number of launchers that Iran has lost in this war, which has been going on much longer than the previous war, twice as long almost, and the enemy forces are much larger, because the United States is a part of it, and they have much more air power than the Israeli regime. The number of launchers that Iran has lost so far is much less than the previous war. And there are a number of reasons behind this, but a lot of the strikes that the Americans and the Israeli regime have carried out have been on decoys. And I've actually posted a couple of the examples of where they did bomb decoys. But the underlying evidence is the fact that, if you recall, after a week or two, they started publishing these charts where they said every day the number of missiles and drones are decreasing. But over the last week, and especially today, the strikes have been very severe. The Iranians have been hitting left, right, and center. And so obviously it's becoming sort of like Vietnam. I was, of course, not born until 1966, but reading history books, the Americans, every night would give out numbers of the number of people they killed and so on. And I think someone once added up those numbers, and it was like more than the entire population of Vietnam. So I think what we're seeing in the United States today is not dissimilar.
Well, then that kind of leads to the question, how long can Iran continue on with this? Because there's no question that they're taking a significant pummeling. Even with limited energy going out through the straits, it still is limited to what Iran can sustain. How long can Iran maintain this with this relentless bombing from the United States and Israel?
Well, actually, Iran, because it began preparing itself for what it believed to be an inevitable U.S. war against the country since the occupation of Iraq. So they've been developing their own indigenous technology for drones, for missiles, and they've been building underground bases across the country. So Iran has drones and missiles to last for years. And the factories that produce them are also deeply underground. In fact, the reason why the American armed forces and the Israelis are targeting civilians and civilian infrastructure is because they're frustrated that they can't destroy Iran's key assets. In fact, today the Iranians released a clip of an underground base for its anti-aircraft systems. So Iran has its defense capabilities are all deep underground, and they will bring them to the surface whenever they need them. And so the Iranian air defenses, they are largely right now being protected underground until the day comes when they feel that they have to be out there in large numbers. In fact, the Navy is the same. Trump keeps saying he's destroyed the Navy. The Navy that Iran needs to fight a war, it's all underground. It's all in tunnels alongside the coast of the Persian Gulf and the Gulf of Oman. These are speedboats that launch missiles, and the Iranians are leaving them for when the time comes that they need them. So Iran's military capabilities are very much intact, and the popular support for the war, I think, is clear for everyone to see. Every night, you see millions of people gathering on the streets in different cities, calling for the armed forces to attack, supporting the government, supporting the state, supporting the leader. On my way here, I passed through three or four different gatherings just to get here. Gatherings of large numbers of people on the streets. And in fact, the Americans and Israelis bombed these gatherings. And this is something that I don't think has ever happened before in history. And I was witness to one on last Friday during the month of Ramadan, or the last Friday of Ramadan. You have International Quds Day. It's a day for and to defend the Palestinian people. Every Friday, on the last Friday of Ramadan, they have this. And so people in Tehran and across the country, in every city, they gather to show solidarity for Palestine. And as they were on the streets, and there's footage of this, I posted it on my Twitter account, they bombed it. They bombed the gathering that I was in. And a woman was murdered. But you didn't see it anywhere in Western media. They also bombed it. Three, 4 nights ago, I think, a gathering of people in the city of Anzani in the north of Iran. I posted footage of that where people are there. And the city of Hamadan also during a funeral where people had gathered to pay their respects for martyrs of the war. So they bombed these gatherings. And no one in the West, in Western media, says anything about it, even though people like myself are constantly putting that out. So they bomb demonstrations, popular demonstrations. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, there's not a lot of that. And of course, that's uncomfortable for many Western viewers. And so that's why they don't like to talk about that, because, well, only Iran is the bad guy. So I don't know if you knew that, but only you guys do bad stuff. We actually don't. Obviously, tongue in cheek. And I've got an example of that here in just a second. But before we do, I want to ask you what one of the other things that's really in the news right now has a lot of people paying attention, and that is Karg Island. And of course, here's the Gulf of Oman, the Strait of Hormuz, and then way up here in the north is Karg Island. The idea is, many people are saying, maybe we need to take this over. In fact, right now there are two USS Boxer and USS Tripoli strike groups that have F-35s, V-22 tilt-wing Osprey aircraft, along with some other capabilities and helicopters that make this a possibility that maybe the U.S. is going to take Karg Island. But as you can see on the map right here, unlike what Lindsey Graham said over the weekend, this is not exactly like taking the island during the war with Japan in World War II. That one was out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean with no help. This one, as you can see, is right off the coast of Iran. Now, I wonder if you can tell us, and my understanding is that Karg Island was actually taken under some fire and had some difficulties during the Iran-Iraq war. And so to what extent did the Iranians prior to this have some kind of defensive capabilities, and could they withstand a Marine attempt to take this island?
Well, first of all, I was a combatant I was a volunteer during Saddam's war against Iran, but you know much more about military affairs than I, so I should be very cautious speaking in front of you. But it really doesn't make sense. Karg Island itself, I mean, what Trump wants to do doesn't make sense. Karg Island, first of all, it's a very flat island. I've never been there, but I'm told that it's very flat, and it's very close to the coast, as you rightly point out. It doesn't have oil itself. The oil is transported by to the island, there the ships it's transported to the ships so that they can sail and export it in different parts of the world. Big tankers can use this island. And so that is the advantage of it. However, let us assume that Trump attacks the island. As you rightly pointed out, geographically speaking, it's not really in a good place for any occupier. And it can be it hit easily with missiles and drones from Iran's from the shores, from the Iran itself. But let's say they did take the island, and so what? I mean, all they would do is Iran would stop exporting oil from the island. That would only make the global economic crisis, energy crisis worse. It's not going to lead to the opening of the Strait of Hormuz because the island is very far away from it. So it doesn't make any sense. On the other hand, if Trump was to carry out an assault on the Strait of Hormuz to open it, of course, there, the Iranians have defenses, but Iran doesn't control the Strait of Hormuz from the shore. It's not like the 19th century or the mid-20th century or even the late 20th century. Iran's missile and drone capabilities are hundreds of kilometers away from the Strait of Hormuz. And those boats, those speedboats that are in those tunnels, they're not in the Strait of Hormuz. So if the United States escalates the war, the Iranians can easily destroy all the tankers in the Persian Gulf, and they can also destroy the oil and gas facilities that produce the oil and gas that's exported from the Strait of Hormuz. So if we have an escalation, that would lead to the destruction of all the infrastructure. If that happens, then there are no ships to take the oil or gas, which itself would be non-existent. So,
and
by
this map here, where do you say the speedboats would come from in this map right here?
They have bases and they're underground, so obviously I wouldn't be privy to them. But they've showed the bases on Iranian TV during the last few years many times. They don't say where they are, but the bases are alongside the shore, the coast of the Persian Gulf, and also which is to the north of the Strait of Hormuz, and then in the Gulf of Oman, which is to the south, or south, let's say, east of the Strait of Hormuz. And it's not just the naval forces. It is the drones. It is the missiles. I mean, after all, how is Iran pounding U.S. assets in Kuwait and the Emirates and Saudi Arabia and Qatar? And Bahrain, they're not firing them from the shores of the Persian Gulf. They're firing them from deep inside Iran, where they have all sorts of decoys and underground tunnels and underground bases. So they would do the same thing. And so if Trump escalates, the Iranians will escalate. If they escalate, that means all the infrastructure will be destroyed. And then we'll have a global economic depression, which cannot be reversed. I mean, right now, despite the damage that's being done to the global economy, if Iran's demands are met and they open the Strait of Hormuz, the oil and the LNG and the fertilizers and the petrochemicals can flow. But if the war escalates and all the infrastructure is destroyed and the ships are destroyed, then there's nothing. There will be nothing now.
And what about Tehran? Because would they not then be cutting their own economic throat as well? And would they not also be fatal?
Well, for Iran, it wouldn't be fatal because Iran has been under sanctions for decades. It's much less reliant on these exports than are the other countries in the Persian Gulf region. But of course, it would be Iran. It would be catastrophic for the global economy, but it would be terrible for Iran. But for Iran, this is a fight for survival. For the United States, it's a war of choice that's being carried out, as Joe Kent said. Because the Israelis want it, because the Zionist lobby want it. So for them, it's a war of choice. But for Iran, if we don't fight this war with everything we have, then our survival is no longer assured.